Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood! Jeremy Cole sitting in for Eddie.
How you doing tonight?
How are you, man?
I'm fantastic.
Dude, your beard looks exquisite.
Oh, I was hoping you'd notice.
No, honestly, it's like wavy, but it's like thick, and it's also like, hey, I'm relaxed, but I'm also ready for a party.
Yeah.
I can be formal if I want to be.
it suits any situation. The truth of the matter is, Nikki, I saw you 1 month ago today, I think, is our last time.
Is today our 1 month anniversary?
Well, of being here last time, dude. The first time I was on the show.
Our studio audience loves that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I had just trimmed my beard too much when I last saw you.
Oh.
So I'm glad to hear that it's finally coming back.
So you got
back
your mojo back.
Clearly, the first thing you did was compliment my beard. Like, life is good.
No, you know, it's a good thing. Like, I remember when we were young lads and we didn't have these beards. So long ago.
It was ages ago.
So you have a story to tell. I called you earlier and you were like, dude, I got to tell you what I was doing.
More like you should have seen the state I was in when you called. Not like, oh, I was doing something so cool.
Well, you're in baby mode, so you're probably just catching up on Z's.
Yes. My baby, Emery, he turned 30 days, you know, hit a month. 30 days,
dude,
on Saturday.
Dude,
so,
high five.
Thank you. Thank
Are you,
you
slapping the baby?
No.
Not yet?
No. We don't slap the baby. We don't kick the baby either.
Ah.
Oh, that's better. That's better. But, you know, we're on, like, no sleep, and it's like just walking around in a daze and bumping into things and
so I hear the rumor that I hear is that the first 6 months are like that.
That's what I hear, too. They say,
do you see progress at all, or is it just like,
well,
no?
Dude, it's, well, I see change. The boy's growing.
Yeah,
he's
of course.
Weight. He looks different all the time.
But not the sleeping patterns.
Yeah, I mean, they're elongating a bit, for sure. He seems to eat more at a time now and then sleep a bit longer, which is great.
So do you time, like, okay,
oh,
if we put him in at like 6:30, he'll wake up at 2:30, then I'll be up and then I'll just be put.
Yeah. Oh, we do. We have an app. And so the biggest thing to change in my life since having a baby is that time has changed. Time is not what, I don't know if I mentioned this.
No,
last time.
No, that's great. Like, that's a great analogy.
So the baby eats every 2 hours or so, maybe up to 3 or 4 if we're lucky. Okay.
Right.
So we have an app where we go, oh, eating now, left breast this long, right breast this long, whatever.
Wow.
And then,
wow. There's an app for that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, man. And then a bottle too. So Heather will pump milk out of herself and we'll refrigerate it. And then I'll use that to give her a break so she can sleep.
This used to be my playground.
This used to be my job. Yeah. Oh, kid. I like going up to him and be like, you eat that tit. You little boy, you eat that tit.
You suck on them titties.
That's disgusting, Nick.
No, I'm just saying.
But you're right. But you're right. Yeah, so I guess my point is we don't sleep much. The kid's up every few hours and, you know, just supporting each
is
other.
Is he doing a lot of this?
Yeah. I think my nipples just started leaking, actually. Because that actually happens. Do you know that?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Like women.
Your nipples
moms,
leak?
Not mine. No, not mine. The mothers are here, baby crying, and their breasts can actually leak milk.
Oh, man.
That happens.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Okay, now I got to ask you I'm going to ask you a real question.
I'll give you one guess on what you're going to ask me. Wait. I'll give you one guess on what he's going to ask me.
Well, no one knows who he is yet.
I know. It'll be the mystery voice.
He's the mystery
okay.
guest. Have you tried the breast milk?
Ding, 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 ding. Hang on.
Dang.
Yep. That's hilarious. No.
Yummy. Why not? Why not?
You know, I haven't tasted it. I don't know what to tell you. I've certainly got it all over me. Like... No, 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 no. Like, you know, from the baby, you know. That's
right,
the thing.
Of course.
So you called me, it was what, 5:45 or something? So I appreciate all the advanced warning.
Yeah, of course. That's how it is. That's how it is.
So easy that
way.
It's
the artist's way.
It's so easy when it's just all, hey, can you leave now? Can you meet me there?
Dude, honestly, it's... And you know what? You got in your car and you were like, I'm ready to do this. I am on my way. I will be there.
Yeah, yeah.
You were my savior.
All the kids piled in. All the kids piled in. We had the big pole with the flag on it, like the big tires.
I was like, dude, you called me and I was like, dude, can you please do this? And you were like, yeah.
It was more like this. It was more like this. Let me call you back. Let me call you right back. I'm just gonna just
and then you put this on.
No, man, you know, because we just got a lot going on with the baby. We're tired.
No, of course.
I got to support Heather, you know, make sure she's okay with
so
me being gone for a minute.
So do you do rounds like, okay, I'm sleeping now.
Yes, absolutely.
You sleep later.
Yes, so Heather will go to sleep. Heather will feed and then hand me the baby and go right to sleep. And I'll, you know, burp
it's
the baby and hang out, put the baby down, and then basically hang out for one more feeding when I'll do a bottle. So she'll get up to like 6 hours sleep during that time.
Wow.
That exact time. And then she has to get up and feed or pump because the breasts – I say, I'm talking about breasts a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not
we love boobs.
Look, my disclaimer is that I am not a lactation consultant, just a huge fan of breasts. Let's be clear.
Hey, boobs are the money. They are where it's at. You know, let's
be yummy.
Oh, good one. Good one.
Oh, our studio audience loves that. Oh, simmer down. Yeah. Simmer down.
I got to tell you, I said it last time I was here. I swear they've gotten more good looking since last month. Your studio audience is incredibly handsome.
They, you know,
and the women too, very handsome.
I got to tell you a funny story. In the middle of the night, so my little puppy bulldog was sleeping next to me, right?
Cutest dog ever.
Cutest dog
almost,
ever.
Except
almost.
For mine.
Hey, easy. It's a tie. It's a tie. So
in your
the
house,
middle of the night, he's snoring, and I've never heard a dog do this, and I swear to God, I'm not kidding. He did this in his sleep. He's snoring, and he just quickly went for 2 seconds, and then he went back to sleep. He woke up, went, oh, and then went back to sleep and started shaking like he was having a nightmare.
Oh,
it was
did you wake him up?
Oh,
Poor kid.
Of course. I woke him up, and then he looked at me like, why'd you wake
what?
Me up? I'm sleeping.
You got food? You don't have food. Shut up. Shut up.
So, man, I'm not doing the baby milk thing, but those are my little moments.
That's okay. It looks like you've been having fun lately. You played in L.A., didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I actually played a show with my mystery guest, who I'm going to introduce in a little bit. But, yeah, man, we played on Saturday. It was packed. It was pretty awesome. Like,
nice.
We played in Laguna Beach. What I love about Laguna Beach is there's always pretty
girls. Diversity, right? The diversity.
Well, everybody has blonde hair. I actually made a joke. I'm like, I forgot to dye my hair with blonde hair, you know, before I came to the show. And everybody was like,
you're like, he's talking
and
about
I was like,
us.
I was like, I should have put blonde highlights. And everybody was just like, yeah, that's Orange County. You know, that's what we do.
Bro.
It's blonde hair. A lot of cougars in the audience, which I was very excited about.
Where's your cougar roar? Come on. You don't have a cougar roar?
I don't have a cougar. You know what? Let me think.
Hey, you do. I knew you would.
On the fly.
I knew you would. There's no way you weren't going to have one.
But, you know, it was fun, man. We played
Sweet.
A show. I'll tell you, though, man, the late nights, it gets harder, man. When you get older, like, I got home at, like, 2:33 in the morning, and I was lugging all my gear in, and I was like, this shit is tough, man. Like, I can't do this night in, night out anymore.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
crazy.
It's your youth has passed you by?
You know what? In my 20s, never a problem. I was like, okay. And I would bring my gear up and go out and party.
Yes.
Till like, 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yes.
And then sleep till like, noon or 1.
Or 4.
Now it's like, dude, I get my gear home, and I'm just so winded just from that. I'm like, how did I do a gig before this?
Well, that may be more than age that has caught up with
you.
Oh,
that's
friend.
My belly, too. It's my belly.
Speaking of which, how's your no-sugar diet going? Is that over?
Dude,
did you just
over.
Fall right off that
I
wagon?
I did 57 days, though, man.
57? How many days ago did that end?
About a week ago.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, I got Halloween candy all over the house. It's just like.
Did you like fall
like,
into
dude,
a cake
Snickers
batter
bars, like for breakfast?
There's wrappers
I got a horchata sitting next to me. I'm like, yeah, that sugar thing. I mean, it felt great. It really did. I do want to get back to that, but I'm just like, once you fall into the sugar waterfall, it's like, you ain't going back.
Yeah. No, I understand.
You know, and that's how it is. Oh, I think our special guest has arrived. Mr. Lyndon Rochelle. Say hello, Lyndon. How are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
Lyndon, you are one of the most talented drummers. Honestly, no bullshit.
Oh, man.
You're one of the most talented drummers I have ever played with.
Right.
I've been wanting to get you on the show. you came in clutch tonight, and we are going to interview you. Like, I don't know half the stuff that you're doing, but let's just get right into it. You know what's cool about this? What I love about this gig is I get to learn about my friends. I get to show off my friends, but I get to learn about them, too. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, like, how'd you get into music? Like, what was the thing that made you go, I want to play? I want to play music.
Wow. Well, first of all, music is something I've been involved in just on a genuine level just since I was a child. You know,
were your parents musicians?
My parents were musicians. Oh. My grandparents musicians.
What? Really?
Oh yeah.
See, I didn't know
man.
This.
Yeah, man.
What'd your grandpa play?
My grandpa played organ, played piano.
Wow.
My grandmother was a singer.
Wow.
My dad plays organ. My mom's a singer.
Wow.
A tringle,
dude. So you're like, I'm gonna play drums and accompany you.
Well, it was funny, man. Like, I used to bang on different instruments as a kid, and the one instrument that didn't bother my grandmother was the drums for some reason.
Wow. You would think that's the one that your grandma would be like, cut that racket.
Yeah, please make it stop.
When I would play that, she was like, yeah, you know, you can do that. So she saw it.
But you probably came out of the womb, and you're like, hey, grandma.
Yeah.
There's a funny story, man. Funny story. Like, I must have been like 4 or 5 months old or 6 months old.
Right.
There was the radio on, and my mother noticed I was bobbing my head to the beat perfectly every time a song would go on. So she was like, oh, okay.
He's like, yeah, he's got rhythm.
That came out of the room rocking.
You're so, like, I got this.
So, I mean, I was just born with it. You know, it was a gift early. You know, I didn't have
And you recognized it early. So you knew.
My parents recognized it early. My grandparents recognized it early. You know, it was just, I was just doing what I was doing. I didn't know.
And did you have like a toy drum set? Like, you know, like the little kid toys?
Well, I grew up playing.
Take two sticks and just start banging on everything.
Actually, I didn't get a toy drum set until I was about maybe 3 or 4.
Oh,
wow.
So
I had pots and pans.
You had to wait till you were 3 or 4 years old to express yourself via drums?
Pots and pans.
Man.
That's what I had.
That's oppressive.
That must have been a transition because you make a lot of noise on pots and pans, and when you get drums, it's a totally different, like toy drums, it's not the same sound. It almost dampens the sound a little bit, right?
I don't really think I was even thinking that deep, man.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So as a 3 or 4 year old, when you got your first toy semi-real drum set, did you feel like you were turning your back on the pots and pans of where you came from?
Turning my back on the pots and pans. I think I was more graduating, you know. It was like,
next level.
I've exhausted everything I can do on the pots
toy
and
drum
pans.
Set.
I need some real drums that I quickly destroyed.
Was this your first lick? You're like, hold on.
Probably sounded. You said it was a toy kit.
Well, I mean,
you mean toy like size, or it was actually a toy?
It was
you were
like
3 or 4.
Well, I mean, like a kid for like a kid.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
like a Toys R Us kit.
Well, I had that at first.
Yeah.
And they brought it to my church, and it lasted about a week.
Of course. Nice. So, those things never last.
No.
So my grandmother eventually had to give me a real drum set.
Nice.
Did you ask for it, or were they like, you need this because you love, we can tell you love it?
They invested in me early. I must
That's
have been
amazing.
4 or 5 years old.
Do you remember what your first drum set was?
It was a CBS.
Nice.
What's a CBS?
No, I'm sorry. CB4 or something.
CB4,
sorry.
That's a movie.
The movie?
No. CB
Straight out of Low Cash.
CB Percussion. Okay.
It was a big old drum set at the time. I was 40.
So it was like a real kit.
It was a real kit.
Oh, man.
So I had to stand up to play pretty much. You know?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's wild. And did you take lessons, or did someone teach you?
Man, I didn't have a lesson until college.
Are you serious?
Yeah, serious, man.
So wait. You had to have some teacher, somebody in the church.
Mean,
like
I grew up playing in church.
Right.
Also played in school bands, but I never had like a formal teacher sit down. You know,
you're kidding me, man.
You know, yeah. Until I got to college, yeah.
So what? You just learn by ear?
Learn
or
by
watching
ear.
People?
I learned by observing. I learned by listening. Because my parents and you know other family members were involved in music, I was always around it. So I was always kind of just soaking it in as I was growing up, you know what I'm saying? So when I started to play and really take it serious, you know, in school in that way, I learned how to read. That was a requirement, so about a week.
Did you do marching band or anything like that?
Man, I did marching band in high school.
Okay.
At my high school, marching band was like, this is where they sent all the freshmen.
Right.
I wanted
to
do the jazz band. I wanted to do the orchestra.
Yeah.
So
that's where the music stuff is.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Man.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot in marching band. It was good.
What did you play in marching band? Because I was in marching band for like a year or two.
I played quads for a little
quad?
Bit.
Quad? That's the one, man.
You know?
Of course, man. Those are the coolest ones.
Played bass drum. I had to carry it, you know.
That thing sucked. That thing. I mean, they gave you like a thing,
a harness,
like a harness, right, to carry it. But still, like, you know, it's not super creative. You're just sitting there, boom, boom,
well,
boom.
Well,
boom.
I mean, our school, because it wasn't so serious, you know what I'm saying? So like, we were free to just make up beats, and so it was actually kind of fun.
I got a confession to make. Like, when I was in marching band, I had to play the clarinet, and I loved when they did the drum procession, like the processions and the recessions, and I was always jealous of the drum section because they were the coolest kids, like in the marching band. There was nothing cool about the clarinet, man. There was nothing cool about it, but man, the drums always were the coolest cats to me. I would always just I'd hang out with them and just pick their brain, like, dude, I love what you guys are doing. And I'd watch them just like, there's nothing better when like a drum section. A drum section playing drums, that's a powerful vibe. You know what I mean? It's like a band.
Most definitely, man. Most definitely.
So you started playing jazz band. And you know what? In your high school, I know you're playing it really cool, but you actually went to high school with a grip of talented cats. Didn't Zane Carney go to your high school?
Oh, man. Do we discuss where you grew up yet? I'm sorry.
Did I miss it? You grew up in Los Angeles. Good
I grew
question.
Up in Los Angeles. Yes, I did.
Right in the heart.
I'm a Valley boy slash LA boy. You know, I was born in South Central LA.
Right.
My family moved to the Valley shortly after the riots. And I just kind of going to been back, you know, between those two, you know, sections of Los Angeles.
Where, like Reseda? Where did you move?
Like, you know, Canoga Park, Woodland Hills,
West
Valley, you know what I'm saying? But I went to high school at Hamilton High School.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and that's like, you know, a lot of people don't think it's, I mean, I don't know if it was a performing arts high school.
Well,
it's
a regular high school, but the school had a performing arts magnet, which basically means there's a segment of the school that was reserved, or, you know, like for all the art students. We had dance classes and, you know, media, and we had, you know, jazz and, you know, orchestra.
And I can't, but honestly, like some of the people that I know that you played with and learned from, they're like some of the most talented people that I know even now.
Zane Carney.
He's playing with John Mayer.
Reed Carney, you know, he started on Spider-Man.
He was playing with Johnny Lang for a while.
Exactly.
And,
you know, Tommy King.
I don't know him.
Tommy King played I think it was Maroon 5 and a few other bands.
Wow.
I just played with him the other day.
That's crazy.
Frank Abraham.
Yeah, I love Frank. I've gone on tour with Frank.
Kamasi Washington.
Yeah, I didn't know Kamasi went to school with you, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I was just on tour with him not too long ago, man. His record came out, the Epic, and we were out supporting that, man, so it was good.
Dude, I saw a big write-up in Rolling Stone about it. Like, they're really making... Did you play on his record?
I did. You know what? I didn't play on the record, but I did.
I've known him
since high school. I've been playing with him for years, so when it came time to tour, you know, he asked me to do it. I was
That's
like,
amazing,
so,
man.
Yeah.
All right, so you're in high school. Then where did you go to school for... I know this is a pretty big deal, but tell everybody where you went to college for music.
Well, I went to two colleges. I started at CSUN, Cal State University Northridge. Studied with Mr. Gary Pratt and Mr. Matt Harris, and I studied a lot of classical percussion. So
wow, that must have been a shift.
I studied with some masters, Joel Leach and John Magnuson, Karen Irvin.
How do you remember all your professors, man?
Because I learned a lot from these people.
That's great. That's great.
You know, I had a great opportunity to expand my knowledge and what I was exposed to in terms of what the drums can do, what percussion can do. So when I went to Berklee, is where I transferred to, the Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Which is like the number one school in the country.
I would say definitely one of them. I mean, for jazz and for contemporary music, and that's why I went there for, because I wanted to really focus on drum sets. A lot of great drummers went there. Steve Smith. Marvin Smitty Smith. Vinnie Kaluta.
Yep. Vinnie must have gone there in like the 70s.
Well, he went there for a little bit and then he left.
Everybody leaves at some point, right?
But you know what? Like, I actually went and I finished. I got my degree. And I have a degree in music.
That's amazing.
That was one of my goals.
You know what? Whenever somebody tells me they went to Berklee, they actually graduated. That's a huge... No, it is. I'm not kidding. It's a huge deal because most people only go there for a year.
That's true. A year is
literally the average of every student that goes to
school. Because they find some professional work and decide to take that over school,
sometimes it's too hard, or sometimes it's a competition thing, and they're just like, they shy away from it. Sometimes it's
just too expensive.
It's too expensive. Sure. Yeah, that's a lot of it, too. I talked to Mayer about it, and he said that it was like, he just didn't get the vibe of it's what he wanted to study. So that could be it, too. And I went through that with music school as well. Like, it was like, I was studying classical music, and I was kind of like, this is not exactly what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Well, I knew that's exactly where I wanted to be, actually. I researched the school, and I actually compared it to a bunch of other programs, and I just knew this is the school I wanted to go to based off of the drummers who I like to listen to working with the top people, you know,
right,
in every style of music, you know. This is where a lot of them study, you know what I'm saying?
Prince's drummer, John Blackwell.
Blackwell, of course, man.
He's one of my favorite drummers ever.
Oh,
and
yeah, man.
Dude,
bad, man.
When I saw that he went to Berkeley, I was like, man, they get all the cats. So when you go into Berkeley, and you know, Boston's East Coast, that's a different vibe altogether. Like, you know, was there like a competitive factor, or was it like, I got to show myself, I got to prove myself early?
You know, I would say when I first came out there, I really just had to feel things out. You know, I'm California born and raised, and never experienced cold weather before, and never experienced being away from home. So it was just a thing of, I just had to just make it happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just feel things out, kind of survey the land a little bit, see what was what, and then it really kind of humbled me as well, you know what I'm saying? You know, I came out there to really, you know, be somewhere where I wasn't the best.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be around better musicians.
Iron sharpens iron. Exactly, that's what makes it, it makes you better, you know
exactly,
what I mean?
So,
and like a lot of our listeners, they don't know this, but I'm about to spill the beans. But Lyndon actually plays and tours with Esperanza Spalding, Grammy award winning jazz artist.
Oh yeah.
Who significantly, she beat Justin Bieber for best new artist for the Grammys, and
back in 2013.
And you met in Berkeley, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Was she a junior? Was she older than you? Younger?
We actually
than you?
Graduated the same year.
Oh wow!
You know, she came in. Funny story. I mean, she came in, I think, when she was 17. You know, and
wow.
She left home just like I did, and you know, I think she had some big, huge, you know, campaign to send her out there because you know she didn't have a whole lot growing up. You know what I'm saying? So. We met, but we didn't really play together a lot. You know, we were just friends. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Just, and like, you're in the vibe.
Sessions
and, yeah.
You know, we have a couple classes here and there. But when we graduated, that's when we really started to play a lot together. And we actually did our graduation concert. And from there, we have toured the world.
That's crazy.
We've been everywhere, man.
And Jeremy, yeah. Like, she, I know you play bass as well.
Mm-hmm.
She is a killing upright player. Like, her upright playing to me is like some of the best, like, ever. And her, she's a killing electric player as well.
Nice.
But her upright playing to me, I'm like, oh my God. It's like, and it's so bad to see a chick just like killing it on upright because it's such a big instrument. It's a hard instrument,
mm-hmm.
You know, but she slays it. And she's a great songwriter too.
That was very sexual, Nicky.
Well, you know what
it's
I mean.
A big hard instrument.
Well, I mean, you know.
You said it.
Is that how you use
I'm
it,
just
you
know? Pointing out your misogyny. It's okay.
No, I mean, but that's an element in music too, you know, that there's energy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's. Like, after a while, you know, after you master your instrument and learn as much as you can, you know, like, you got to kind of just play and just express yourself and have fun and, you know, and go beyond just the notes, you know what I'm saying?
Well, before we have you play something that you've been recording, let's show you off a little bit. So, Lyndon has had the amazing opportunities to play at Walt Disney Hall. I saw him also at New Orleans Jazz Fest. That was a killing set. Tell us some of the other like amazing theaters and venues and festivals and tours that you've done. In a nutshell.
We've done, I played at the Royal Festival Hall in England.
Wow.
Played at the Apollo Theater in New York.
I've done that.
That's Nikki's baby.
Yeah, that's my baby too.
I've done the Tokyo Jazz Festival.
Wow.
I've been to Korea. I've played... where else? It's so many places, man.
New York? You any New York venues outside of the Apollo?
Oh, I've done the Blue Note.
Yeah, the Blue Note, man.
I've done Cleopatra's Needle and, you know, all the different spots out there.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, that's you played some of the biggest venues in the world. You're like,
I would say
yeah.
So. I mean,
yes. That's exactly how I'd say
like,
it.
That's how I roll.
I mean, I think the biggest show that I've done, it's been a couple. I played with De La Soul at the... in Wisconsin. I forgot what festival it was. It was about 80,000 people.
That is
it was
crazy.
Nice.
With Esperanza, we played in Rio de Janeiro. It was an outdoor festival, free festival. Easily about 60, 70,000 people showed up. It was
that
crazy.
Is nuts.
They didn't leave. We opened up for Prince a couple times. We did the Welcome to America tour, and you know, I forgot how many people were there. But
let's put you on pause for a second. I want to talk to you about Prince for a second.
Okay.
But let's play something. Let's play something that you tell us about this recording that you're gonna play us.
I'm gonna play Esperanza. She did a version of Stevie Wonder's "I Can't Help It."
Okay.
So you know, Michael Jackson made the song very famous. But she did an arrangement of it. It was kind of hip, kind of funky, kind of jazzy. And I played on it. I did a recording.
Let's hear it. I can't wait.
Won a Grammy, so, you know.
That's an amazing thing. We'll talk about that in a second. Okay. Here it is.
So she's playing bass and singing. Yes. At stand-up bass, singing.
How much has been electric? It's so killing. It's like,
man.
It's so mean. It's so fierce. It's just like...
But she was crazy enough to even record and sing, like record the bass and sing at the same time in the studio. So.
Oh, no big deal. No big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
It makes me want
to by the way, that was sarcasm. It's not like it was texting. You could tell I was being sarcastic, right? Okay.
Of course. Of course. Lyndon, I love the change in feels, too, man. Like, you're grooving, and then you're just, like, doing, like, halftime stuff.
Definitely, man.
It's just so dope, man.
I've always wanted to play something authentically, or as close to it as I can, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to switch up styles. It's going to sound as close to what it is as possible.
I love the way it's mic'd, too. Like, the drums really sounded great.
Q-Tip from Tribe Called Quest. He's a great producer. He produced the record.
Wow.
Super cool.
Dude, let's talk about that for a second, dude. Yeah.
Well, like, the goal was to make it sound as authentic and as kind of like a throwback to, like, the 60s and 70s, you know what I'm saying? We used big drums, muffled them down a little bit. Kind of had more of that that old school sound. Like, I think we recorded the tape and everything.
Oh, nice.
So, like, I think the bass drum was big and, you know, big old toms. And
It sounds like it. You can hear the room. It just sounds like.
Where'd you record that?
We did it at, I think it was Axiom in New York. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if it's still open, but it was a great, great studio, man.
What was it like working with Q-Tip?
It was cool. Like, he just allowed things to happen. That was it. You know, I think he just made recommendations about drum sounds and recommendations on just, you know, of how the vibe should come across. And that was basically it. Like, we just did our thing. That was it. You know.
The cool thing is, like, it just has such a different interpretation of what, you know, it's a cover tune, right? You know, like Stevie Wonder song, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't sound anything like a Stevie Wonder song in only in the way that Stevie Wonder does it. Mm-hmm. But the way this is presented, it's just like, it does all these different, like, it just sounds like a new and familiar jazz sound. Well, that's what's cool about it.
Well, I think what makes it jazz is in the tradition of kind of breaking the rules and kind of, you know, stretching things and trying to go places where you don't expect, you know what I'm saying? So, and also doing it in a way that's creative and thoughtful. You know what I'm saying? So, but the masterful thing about it is that it still grooves and it's still...
Oh, man.
Oh, it grooves. You know, it doesn't go dirty so far, sexy.
That was awesome. I love how it peaked at the very end of the song.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, I love, too. Like, you don't get a lot of endings in songs. Like, they'll usually fade it and do something
dynamics,
else.
Dynamics, man.
So, you know, it was like, it was great. It just did this. It was, like, flowing. And then you just see that huge scoop up with their vocals. And then it's just like, colors, man. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. From start to finish, man. It's a piece.
Killing. You wanted to ask a question, Jeremy, that we were talking about?
No, they've already asked it, right? Wasn't I just... I wanted to know if you played and sang at the same time.
Oh.
Play and sing at the same time?
Not you. Oh, do you? Do you sing?
I can't.
Yeah, man.
Really?
You know, when I first started playing with Esperanza...
I gotta get you on vocals, Lyndon.
Man,
damn.
I would sing all the background stuff, man.
Dude, you know, why am I just hearing this now?
Because I only do it when I have to. Man.
Oh, you know what? Now you're gonna have to. Now that I know, I didn't know that.
I see some singing with Nikki in your future.
Yeah, you're gonna be grabbing that mic, man, singing that stuff. Yeah. I love it.
Well, she's at a point now where she can hire background singers. That relieved me of my duties, but you know.
You've also played with a lot of hip hop cats. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Not a whole lot, but I played with some notable people.
Yeah.
Like, my first real hip hop gig was the RZA. It was like a last minute call, man. A friend of a friend recommended me, and you know, I guess something happened with their drummer. They had like a day or two to find somebody that can go on tour and do the run. And they called me, and I learned all the songs, and I think it's like 18 songs. And
damn,
we
had to learn.
We were on the road the next day, and that's how it kind of came across. I think I just moved back to L.A. from Berkeley and all that. And that was like
A whole tour, not just one gig. That was a tour?
Oh, yeah. Like, we did about 30 dates.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
You know,
how did you learn all that stuff? Like, overnight? You just sat there with the record, just charted everything?
Dude, I literally sat there with the record, listened to it once or twice, made a chart of the whole thing, made my notes, and then I just did that for every song. So when I came to rehearsal, I just nailed everything.
You know, the funny thing, like, I don't know if I've ever told you this in rehearsal, but, like, sometimes, like, you know, when we rehearse with the NK band and Lyndon's playing drums, like, we will have something that's kind of a little bit difficult, like breaks or hits or stuff. Like, it's just a lot to remember. And Lyndon will be like, all right, let's just run that. and we'll play it, and he'll just nail it. It's just like, wait, what? And, you know, the funny thing is Ray, the guitarist, he, you know, we have a lot of drummers that come in and out, you know? So, like, he'll be the first one that looks at it, and he'll just start smiling. Because like, that's the test, man. It's all right, you got some shit? All right, let's throw you this little bit. Oh, you got that one? So it makes me want
to... I know. A lot at me, yeah, man. But yeah. Also, just in college, man, like, I did a lot of big band stuff.
And right.
I did a lot of...
so you have the ear for it. That's what's cool.
I would say so, but I think I just have... because I played the stuff a lot,
yeah.
And I had to be in a lot of situations where I had to learn quickly.
You versatile, know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So I had to learn how to learn very fast. Like, let me listen to the most important part of it. Let me break it down as quick as I could. And then this, after doing it a lot, you know, I got quick at it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it shows, man. Well, let's play something else. What are you going to play us next?
Oh, man.
I can't get enough of the music, man. Yeah. When you just, you got so much good stuff.
The spot, man.
That's all right. That's all right.
Hey, I'll give you a hint. He's going to do this one more time. After this song, think about what the next song is going to be.
I'll play one.
Probably.
It's a song I wrote.
I like this.
Is this a premiere? Hang on. Has this been played anywhere?
Is this a world premiere?
It's not officially titled. This is unreleased. This is, a group I'm in. It's called James Carson and Linda Rochelle.
Okay.
I was teaching in India for one summer.
Of course you were.
What?
Yeah, that one summer when you were teaching.
See, this is why I love doing this show. It's like, I've been playing with
him. This is your buddy, right? You guys are friends. You actually know each other a long time.
And I didn't know this. I'm like, you went to the homeland, man. You went to my people.
I spent about 3 months out there teaching in South India. And I was teaching music at a friend of mine, basically from Berkeley, he went back home. His name is Prasanna, and he's like a world-renowned Indian jazz guitarist. I did some gigs with him, and he noticed I was able to take Indian Carnatic music and kind of make sense of it and play a kit with it, you know what I'm saying? So when he asked me to come teach and show his guys down there how to do that, and ended up touring India and all that stuff. So I met one of the teachers, is James Carson. He's a world-renowned pianist, and he's working on a film right now, and we decided to do some recording, and I think I'll share this one.
I can't wait, man.
And it's untitled, but I'll call it L.A. for now.
All right.
Hopefully this is the right track. This one. Oh.
Thank you.
Great, man. Fantastic.
All right, first, because I'm in a lounge mood right now.
All right, I got this. So back us up. Who did you record that with again?
On keys, it's James Carson. Mm-hmm. Me on drums. Anton Piusanki on bass. He's a Grammy Award-winning, Emmy Award-winning, World Music Award-winning producer. He worked with everybody from Tupac to... everybody from classic hip hop records. He's on a lot of stuff.
So. And you said that song started. You wrote the melody and then gave it over to your buddy James. Said, "Do something, make this happen, make something happen."
I mean, I wrote the groove, wrote the melody. I wrote the song. So
okay.
I gave him the melody. I was like, "This is what I want. This is the vibe I'm looking for." And you know, I wanted to feel like this. And he interpreted like how we heard. You know what I'm saying?
And so you play some other instruments. You play some keys. You said
I play a little keys. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not.
You play little keys or you play the keys?
I play the keys a little.
I play the little keys.
The tiny ones. I only play the little black ones. I don't play the white ones. They're big.
The black ones are the ones that I play. I don't play the white
ones. There you go.
You can do a lot with the black ones.
I wanted to ask you, it's got a very Headhunters feel. Was that like kind of intentional, Herbie Hancock?
I would say this was more, I'm definitely heavily influenced by that record. You know, by Headhunters, that group.
Yeah.
Mike Clark on drums. Or
you know Lonnie Smith? Dr. Lonnie Smith?
Oh, of course, yeah.
So it's got that kind of like vibe to it. You know, Jimmy McGriff.
Well, I mean, you know, I grew up loving B3.
Yeah.
Both my grandfather and my father are B3 players. And I have a thing.
Nice.
I love that. You know what I'm saying? So I like how it can be warm and powerful. You know, it's just like drums. You know, you can do a whole lot that you don't expect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, that's the Leslie B3, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, funny little story. Our sax player.
Using the Leslie.
Our sax player, when we were playing on Saturday, there's a Hammond B3, and he was like,
Hammond.
You know, he was like, you know what? I'm going to play some you know, some organ on some stuff. And I was like, oh, all right. And he just went at it.
And
it sounded great. I was like, dude, you're killing it. He's like, yeah, I can play a little bit.
That's awesome.
Jazz musicians, man.
You got any live gigs coming up, man?
Oh, man, I just played last night, man.
I can't go to that one.
From time to time, I sub over at the Sofitel Hotel for Ryan Cross and Kenneth Crouch.
Yeah. Ryan's been a guest here.
Oh, is that right, man?
Yeah.
That's my man. We've been doing a whole lot lately. We've been doing some TV stuff and some movie
stuff.
That's
awesome.
Doing a lot of live playing, man. So,
he's the best, man.
Just at the W Hotel with him on Sunday and, you know, we try to stay busy, man.
That's what it's all about. Where can people find you, Lyndon?
Oh, you know, the best way to find me is the
right here, now. Right now, in this room.
Right here, right now. Other than that, go to Facebook, you know, find me there. My website is about to be back up, so, you know.
Well, okay, well, so, like, spell people your name.
Lyndon Rochelle, LyndonRochelle. That's how you find me.
And if you're friends with Nikki on Facebook, Nikki posted about the show today.
That's right.
And linked to Lyndon's page, so you can get there from there.
I did.
Man.
So, you got I know you got gigs coming up.
Man.
Just kind of like, I'll see.
I'm about to go back on tour. I'm headed out with the beautiful Brenna Whitaker.
Wow.
She has signed to Verve Records. David Foster actually hasn't produced someone personally in a while. So he took her under his wing, handpicked the songs with her.
Nice.
And he heard me doing a gig with her and decided to put me on the record, man.
That's
amazing.
I did
the record.
Hit that applause button, man.
My bad.
The studio audience loves that.
I jammed out at his house once.
David Foster?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was great working with him, man. You know, it was
he's
a thing.
He's old school, man.
Yeah, he played a few songs with us, and it was kind of surreal. I was like, wow, I'm at Capitol Records, Studio A, here recording for one of my friends, for David Foster. I was like, this is great. So we're going to promote that record in Germany. I think they're going to release it there, and we're going to do about a couple weeks there and a few shows and come on back and see what happens from there, man.
Well, Lyndon, you've been an amazing guest. What are you going to play us out? I want you to play us something out.
Oh, man.
Put him on the spot again.
Put me on the spot.
I told you there'd be a third time. Well, since the last chance I have it, I want to say thank you very much, Nikki, for having me again.
Of course. Lyndon. It won't be the last time.
No, God damn it, it won't be the last time. I'm sending some love home to Emery Bear and Heather.
Actually, it's the last time.
All right. Well, so long, audience.
All right. I got one for you. This song is it's called Endangered Species. Esperanza took it. It's a Wayne Shorter song, actually.
Oh, I love Wayne Shorter, man.
He's played with everybody from, you know, himself, of course, and Miles Davis, Weather Report. He's someone that we've all kind of like to model. He's a musician of the world.
I did a concert with him, man. Wow, right out of music school. Herbie and Wayne.
Those are two of my favorite, man.
I was if this is how I'm starting, it ain't nothing going to talk. I'm still chasing that band, to be honest.
Well, this is a song he wrote, and I played on it, and, you know, it's on the same Grammy Award-winning record, Radio Music Society, and here it is.
Now let's hear it.
Thank you.
Man, that's fantastic. Ooh. That was fun.
Wait, you said somebody else was playing on the record. Who was playing on the record that you wanted to announce?
That was the great Layla Hathaway.
Damn. And you like casually like, oh, I forgot to say I played the Hollywood Bowl. Oh, yeah, that one little venue, the Hollywood Bowl. Man,
that was probably definitely a big milestone. You know what I'm saying?
When did you do that?
That was in 2000. I think it was last year or
dude,
2013.
I need to start
14.
Hanging out with you more, Linda.
we did a show. It was us and Anita Baker, man. Esperanza Spalding and Anita Baker. It was great, man.
Classic. Those are two classics combining, man.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Linda, you've been a great guest. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you for
having me, man. And we'll have you again, man. Don't you worry.
Yes, sir.
Keep
yes,
making
sir.
Them beats. Keep kicking ass with all the artists, including NK, man. Don't forget us when you get it. It's too big.
Remember,
too
you're going to be singing, so keep
yeah, that's right. I better start getting them harmonies
out. I don't mind. Let's do it, man.
I'm ready.
I'm ready for the challenge.
On behalf of Jeremy Cole, I'm Nikki Carullo. We'll see you next week. Wake up, Hollywood!
Peace.